All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome. How are you guys doing tonight? Good? No, you don't have to clap. It's all right. No. I didn't want you to clap. I just want to know how you're doing. So how many of you were not here last week? Just so I can see by a raise of hands. Okay. All right, great. And you guys know you can always hear the recording. It's totally common that during the summertime, you might miss some classes. So feel free. We have professionally recorded classes, obviously, that you can always hear to catch up from every week. Also, before we start, just so it's an amazing experience for all of you, can I please ask for your permission to turn off or silence or just put away so those waves are not bothering you? I want you to completely disconnect from the day, the week. This is your time to nourish the soul spiritually. And it's going to hopefully provide for you the energy you need for the rest of the week. So in a moment, I'm going to give you guys just something to do with your groups. But let's just quickly review the concepts we learned last week. What were some of the main topics that came up? Just shout them out. What do you remember? Pause, what a pleasure. Everybody always remembers pause, what a pleasure. What else? What is it? Be like the light, the law of affinity. Very good. What happens when I act like the light? What happens? When I become like the light, I start to receive the light of the Creator. What is the light of the Creator? Is it a physical light, like this light? What is the light of the Creator? It's a new concept for a lot of people. Energy? What else? Prosperity can be one of the rays of the light of the Creator. What else exists within the light? Think about for a moment what you want in your life. Clarity. Maybe you're going through a confusing situation. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand if you have at least one area of your life you're not clear about something. Raise your hand. Okay, all right. That's pretty much everyone in the room. The idea is that all of us have some form of desire that's not fulfilled. And instead of just chasing answers, chasing relationships, chasing, you know, some kind of mini pleasure, we're learning now through the wisdom of Kabbalah that there's a system of life, a universal system for all of us. Doesn't matter what our religious beliefs are. Doesn't matter any background that we have. There is a system to the game of life. And if I learn how to play by these rules and plug into the light of the Creator will arrange the different types of fulfillment that I want to receive. And Kabbalah also helps us go on the most direct path. What does Kabbalah help us go on? The most what? Direct path. Because eventually we all get there. The Creator is merciful according to the Kabbalah. So eventually everybody finds their purpose. Maybe it takes many lifetimes. Everybody finds a good relationship. Maybe it takes many lifetimes. Everybody finds good friends, peace of mind, serenity. Like, you know, a woman told me recently, you know, in my last class, she said, it's my second divorce, after being in an abusive relationship for 20 years, I finally learned how to find the strength within my soul. And she's about 60 now. And I said, do you feel good about it? She said, I feel so good about it. I said, can you imagine if you found that strength when you were 21 years old? As opposed to have to go through all that process, that whole relationship, everything to find clarity, to find the moment of connection to the light. Because pain, we're going to learn about it later, much later. Pain and suffering also guides us to who we're meant to be. But we're learning now, if I follow spiritual laws, very simple ones, I can go on the most direct path to where I'm meant to be, as opposed to allowing painful things to take me there. So that's the light of the Creator. If I want the light, I have to act like the light. And then we learned the first concept of how to act like the light. What do we call it? Blank behavior. What was it called? Reactive behavior. By definition, reactive behavior is any thought, word, or action that comes from lack or fear in order to connect to instant gratification or relief. Today, did anybody go through anything uncomfortable? Anybody? Four people? It's nice. Throughout the day, the Creator sends us tests that have already been designed and determined, by the way, before our soul even came to this world. Those tests are to awaken lack and qualities that are unlike the Creator, because only if you see them can you change them. And by changing them, then we have affinity with the light. But we need people and situations to awaken our negativity. If the day was smooth, that's good. We need smooth days. We definitely need smooth days and nice days where nothing goes wrong. But if something goes wrong, what a pleasure. Why is it a pleasure? We keep going back. Why is it a pleasure when something doesn't go my way? When I get hurt? When I hear that somebody's talking bad about me? When I just found out I'm about to lose a major deal I've been working on? When I just found out I have to let go of my company? When I just found out that the person who I'm so into romantically is not into me? Like, I got a text from somebody this morning. I just found out he doesn't really want to be with me. Okay. And then she wrote, what a pleasure. She knows. She's taken the class. Now, is she still in pain? Yes or no? Yes. Horrible pain. Does she wish it never happened? Yes or no? Yes. Of course. But it happened. Why did it happen? Is the universe punishing her? There's no such thing as punishment in Kabbalah. The universe wants to elevate her, wants to give her the next level of her relationship. Even though it looks like she's losing the relationship, and she might lose the relationship, we don't know. It's not for us to figure that out. Her only job is to say, I just want to correct myself. And I'm so happy I have a guy who's finicky, who looks like he's interested, and then he's not interested. What a pleasure that is. From the point of view of correction. Now, of course, we don't all want to have a guy like that our whole life. That's not the point. But the reason why I have someone like that is because I need that training to go to the highest level of myself. Because I didn't get there yet. What do you want? You want to run the marathon? You have to train. You want to look good when you go to the beach? You want to go and be proud of your body? You can't just pray to your body to look good. Please, I pray that you will sculpt yourself. What do you actually have to do? You have to, it's interesting. What is the gym? It's that place you go that you pay money to have someone make you suffer. And what do they do? To make the muscle strong, what do they do to the muscle? They make it the opposite. So there's a moment that the muscle must experience its exact opposite, which is weakness and being torn apart, in order to elevate to that beautiful muscle we all desire. Everything works the same way. So why is it in life when the Creator breaks the soul for a moment in order for us to see our garbage, can we say, oh my God, this is amazing. It's like my trainer who forces me to do 6 more reps when I feel I'm already dying and I can't do another one and I just want to go look at my bicep in the mirror and go to the sauna. That's what I want to do right now. And the guy says, no, I'm going to break you 6 more. And then after you're done with the 6, what does he say? One more. And that's what happens in life. But now we're going to be ready for it because everything is a test from the Creator. Nothing will ever come to you that you can't handle. That's a rule. You will never receive a test that it wasn't beautifully, surgically designed for you. Never. Even if it looks horrible, insurmountable, painful, I see no future. it's perfect. Especially when you don't see the future of it. It's tantamount to how many blessings you're going to get. If you can see what's going to happen, it's little blessings. If you have no clue what's going to happen, you have no clue where your sustenance is coming from, you have no clue where your clarity is coming from, you have no clue where your strength is going to come from, that's a sign that it's huge strength, huge sustenance, huge blessings. So let's take a moment. And even though I know you're getting to know your groups, and we'll have more opportunity that you can know each other more because your groups, you found each other for a reason, spiritually, you're going to see that in the coming weeks. But I want you now just to turn to the person next to you and share the most profound concept of all those concepts we've learned for you in your own words. What's the most profound thing you've learned so far in your own words? Share it with the person next to you after you introduce yourself to that person. Tell them your name. Tell them something about yourself and then share the concept. I'll give you a minute to do that. Please. All right, everyone. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. Okay, nice. Tests come, challenges come. It's all for the good. It's all about me transforming my reaction. Pause, what a pleasure. Then what? How long can you do pause, what a pleasure for? You're getting bombarded by constant challenges, chaos. What is Kabbalah about being a doormat? Yeah, run over me, humiliate me. Pause, what a pleasure, pause, what a pleasure. Of course not. There's more to the formula. So let's understand, in order to know what to do next, we have to understand our purpose in this world. Each one of us have a soul that is equal. Equal meaning we're all made of the same spiritual DNA. Regardless of our religious affiliation, our economic, social, cultural backgrounds, where we live in this world, our ideologies, the soul itself is pure. The soul is a vessel. What is the soul? A vessel to receive light. We all have different bodies and we look different. And some of us come male and female and different sexual orientations. But the soul itself is pure. Every soul comes to this world with baggage, spiritual baggage. Why? Where does it come from? It's not for tonight. I just need you to kind of go with me for a moment. That we all come with spiritual baggage. In Kabbalah, the technical term for the source of all this spiritual baggage is called our tikkun. Tikkun. Can you say this word tikkun? Tikkun. Tikkun literally translates into correction. My soul has something it must correct. It has baggage that it brings from past lives, if I didn't correct it, that I need to correct in this life. So let's take a moment to look at the slide. Everyone has tikkun that comes in two aspects. The first aspect, we all have negative attributes that our soul came to the world with that we must first recognize and transform. And this is one of the big things all Kabbalah students go through in the beginning of Kabbalah 1. They start to get in touch with what is my spiritual baggage. The baggage always has to do with fears, insecurities, anger, hatred, control, judgment, jealousies, fear of abandonment, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being number one. Fear that I'm not going to be taken care of, doubts, anxieties, selfishness, I come first, I don't care about anybody else, consumed with myself, consumed with the way I look, consumed me, me, me. Why? Because these are all qualities that what? Exist in the light of the Creator or don't exist in the light of the Creator? What do you think? They don't exist. If the light is a pure force of sharing, kindness, giving, strength, certainty, love, mercy, every time I have one of these other qualities, anger, jealousy, fear, those qualities don't exist within the light. So the game of life is that my soul came to this world with baggage. I have some props here. I just picked them out. We all come in with baggage. As you can see, some of us came with bigger bags, maybe a JanSports version of our baggage. Some of us came with pretty baggage, small. Only a couple things we need to correct. And it's cute almost. It's almost the things I need to correct are kind of packaged, very cutesy. It's actually hard to correct baggage like this. Let me give an example of tikkun that looks like this. A person who loves sharing. They're very sharing. It's a very sharing person. Some of us might be that kind of a person. If I ask you, what kind of a person are you? I'm very sharing. I only want people to be happy. And I hate when people are suffering. In fact, I hate when I see it on TV. And I'm always there for my friends. Like, you call me, I'm there. Whatever you want, whatever you need, I'll give you. My money, I don't care. I'm not connected to my possessions. Whatever you want. Wow, what a spiritual. It sounds like this person has no tikkun. It sounds like they are the light. Often with these types of people, they have the perfect life, right? And everybody loves them and respects them and everything goes their way and they are a walking miracle, right? Yes or no? Not at all. Why do negative things happen to good people? I hear it all the time. I'm such a good person. I don't understand. What's with all the chaos? We have to understand why you are so sharing. We have to look inside. See why you are so sharing. If I reached in and I took out the tikkun that is motivating you to share, it could be your need to be loved, your need for everyone to like you, your need for approval, your fear of being abandoned. Maybe you were adopted. So what happens is there's always this feeling of I don't fit in. So I overcompensate in my relationships. I overgive. I'm taking a Kabbalah class. What amazing concepts. As soon as I go home, if somebody needs help, I'm going to tell them concepts. Give them. This is what you need to do. This is what I've learned. And what happens is sometimes we give when people don't know how to receive. It's like the person, when you see an old woman at the crossroads, she's waiting at the cross, at the corner of the street, and you go, I'm a giver. Please, let me help you. No, it's okay. No, let me help you. You're pushing her like across the street. You're grabbing her bags, and you're like carrying her. And when you take her to the cross, other side of the street, you know what she tells you? I was waiting for the bus. It's on the other side. Because we're so blinded by, I need to give, but it's coming from that negative place. So that's the cutesy tikkun. This is a harder tikkun, by the way, because you don't really know it's negative until later on in life when you've been hurt many times. We have tumi tikkun, a little higher end tikkun, or Chanel. Is there anyone with a Chanel bag? I saw when you were sebi, can I use your Chanel? Chanel tikkun. What is Chanel tikkun? It's actually Chanel, which is amazing. Chanel tikkun is, you know, sometimes we look at other people's lives and we say, look, they have everything. They're born, amazing family, they have money, no worries, they travel whatever they want. They don't have the problems I have. And of course, I don't have to tell you. Everyone, no matter where they are, if they're the kids kicking the soccer ball in Malawi or our friends in Beverly Hills, everyone receives the equal amount of pain that is exactly matched to their soul. And each one has equal amount of opportunity for happiness and connection to the light, by the way. So some people need to be born in wealthy, privileged situations because only in those dynamics can they see what they need to change. The types of challenges they need are exactly perfect for their tikkun. So you can't compare yourself to anybody, by the way. We are all equal in our tikkun. The things I need to change, will bring me as much of a challenge as the things you need to change, whether you're born to a wealthy family, a less wealthy family, a privileged one, or you just have a little cutesy tikkun. Everyone's got spiritual baggage. And according to what my tikkun is, I will attract those tests. So let's say I have a fear of abandonment. I have a fear of not being loved or not getting approval. Or I have a lot of pride. I need people to view me a certain way. And when they don't, I feel lack and I feel instability. What's going to happen? Your soul, knowing that it has those tikkuns, before it comes to this world, it looks for the perfect parents that will be good for its tikkun. So if I have a fear of abandonment, what kind of parents will be good for me? If I have pride issues, what kind of parents will be good for me? Oh, I want to be adopted. That would be amazing. I want to come into the body of a scenario where my parents give me up. It's perfect. So while some people will tell you the reason why you have these fears is because you were adopted, what do we say in Kabbalah? You were adopted because you had those fears. You get it? It's very deep. The spiritual always precedes the physical. Every person in your life was already pre-chosen by your soul to be the perfect trigger for your tikkun. That guy you dated in college, that crush you had in high school, that business partner who was smiling to you every day and being nice to you, but secretly sabotaging the business, that sister, that brother who you never got along with, you were always more successful than they were always giving you evil eye. You wanted to have siblings who would give you evil eye. It was the perfect package for your correction. The problem is when we don't know that that's the game, we just get frustrated and we start being reactive with people. If you don't know why you're playing the game or what's the purpose, then we just start judging everybody. And we start eliminating negative people from our lives. So we leave an uncomfortable relationship without learning why I'm in it. What was my correction here? No, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it. I can do better. I can be with someone who loves me and appreciates me. You don't love me and appreciate me. Well, why don't you stop for a moment and ask yourself why the Creator sent you someone like that? No, I don't want to deal with it. I just want energy. I want energy. I want to feel good. I want to feel good. And it's easy because I have money or I have charisma or I have talent or I have whatever. So it's easy for me to get instant energy. So those kind of tikkuns are harder. Again, when I have a lot of ways of getting instant gratification, often those kind of people don't deal with their tikkun. They don't deal with it right away. Eventually they have to. So let's take a moment. This is a lot of information. This is the moment when the mind starts thinking. What could be my tikkun? How many tikkuns do we have? How many do you think you might have? It's many. It's not just one. It's rare that a person only has one thing to change in this lifetime. There are some people that are like that. But we have layers, and we discover them layer by layer. So let's think for a moment. What could be my correction? If you want to know how to find out, it's usually an area where I have a little bit of chaos, a little bit of unresolved pain. That is the area where my tikkun can be found. That's a starting point. Now let's go back, let's take another step backwards. In that area, what kind of players do you have? What kind of actors are in that area? Who's there? Think about it for a moment. Let's actually start to write it down to make it more manifested. Take out a pen and paper.
Thank you.
So let's write down, and don't worry, if you don't want to share this later, you don't have to, but as honest as you can be, quicker breakthroughs will come. Some of us won't be able to figure it out right away, but the effort you make, you'll start to open up gates. Write down an area of your life that there is a little bit of lack, pain, or confusion. An unresolved area, an area that there's a consistent conflict. Once you write down that area, on the next line or right below it, write down all the actors involved. People, scenarios, politics, whatever. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be a dynamic. For example, you may say, my career or my job, it's a constant source of pain for me. The actors involved are some of my colleagues, an abusive boss, a toxic atmosphere, a culture of selfishness, whatever you feel. If it's relationships, you could say, I feel alone. I feel like relationships never work for me. People always leave me or I want to leave them. Maybe write down the last guy or girl that you were with. What were they like? Write it down. Just write. Just start writing. What kind of a guy were they? Or girl were they? Selfish, checked out, shut down, non-committal, unavailable, into himself, narcissistic. And the third thing you're going to write, I want you to write this line. Why is it in my movie? Why is it in my movie? Why did I choose to meet this person or invite this career or invite this culture or invite a divorced dysfunctional family? Why did I choose a divorced dysfunctional family? If that's my thing. Why did I choose to have kids that don't listen to me? Why did I ask the Creator, please send me kids that make it very hard for me all the time? Why did you want kids like that? Who wants kids like that? Maybe your brain said we all want kids that obey, but your soul said, no, 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 no. I need kids that go against my ego constantly, that will always press my buttons and show me my tikkun. Now take a moment to share this if you're okay with that. If not, you can be a listening participant. Now the tables are a little big, so I'll leave it up to the mentor to decide if each person will share real quick, or you want to cut the group in half and each person share half and half. Okay? Try your best. Just share what comes out. Don't have to make your stories too long, but let's get the ball rolling so we can unearth why we are on this earth. Let's unearth why we're on earth. Please, I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. And in a moment, I'll take questions. I want to stop you for a moment. Look at me for a moment. Stop for a moment. This always comes up, every class too. Be cognizant of the fact that even as you're in these groups at this moment, you're being tested. Even in these moments, maybe someone's saying a story, you're like, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I'm checking out. Checking out is a form of reactive behavior. Think about it. You feel lack, right? You're not engaged, you know? So you start to engage yourself in your own little checkout way. You fail the test. You disconnect from the light. As opposed to saying, wait a minute, pause. What a pleasure. Let me listen. And in fact, the ones you don't want to listen to are often the ones that will reveal to you what you need to do. It's always how it is, right? Transform, connect to the light. That person then becomes your messenger. So even in your groups, watch how you trigger each other. Each one of you are in these groups to help one another. Uncover, unlock the secrets that each person has for you. Especially if it bothers you, extra attentive. And don't take it personally if you see somebody very attentive to you. Okay? Okay, if you got that, whatever. All right, go back to your groups. All right, everyone. All right. Turn your chairs. Now, I'm just going to introduce the second aspect of tikkun and then answer any questions that you have. So the first thing is we got to transform. And that's the number one goal, by the way. This is more important than anything else. If you do this, everything else falls into place. Two, each one of us has positivity that we are meant to share and gifts we must express in this world. We're going to talk more about this at the end of Kabbalah 1 because doing number two without number one is meaningless. If I think, you know what? I'm a wonderful singer. I'm a wonderful actor. I'm a wonderful doctor. I'm a wonderful inventor. In fact, I invented cures for diseases. That's how I'm sharing with the world. If that's all you do, you will come back lifetime after lifetime, and in the upper world, they'll look at you and they'll say, well, you didn't work on your negativity. You found a cure for cancer, but you were cheating on your wife every day. We didn't send you to find the cure. We already knew that you were going to find the cure. We sent you the cure. But your correction was your negativity. Go back. Go back and start learning how to love yourself and stop having an affair. So we can't get lost in just saying, well, I'm helping people. I can just do negativity on the side. You need both. And if you're just the person that says, oh, I'm going to go sit on a mountain. I'm just going to work on myself, be spiritual, never talk, never be negative. That also doesn't work because you need to be in the physical world. You need to be with the people. That's how you find out who you are. We all would love to isolate ourselves and just be spiritual. Just be with the birds, listen to Kabbalah lectures, and meditate. I mean, amazing. That's not going to pay the bills, though. That's not going to elevate your soul in the way of transforming darkness to light. You have to be where the darkness is. And our lives, thank God, have a nice amount of darkness. No matter who we are, where we are, we have some challenges. So that's the second thing. I want to open the floor to questions. And we have microphones on each side, right? Okay, great. So as soon as we pick on someone, please ask any question you like about this topic. Don't be scared. You have questions. Yeah? Okay. What's your name?
Gilda.
Gilda?
Hi. So you said that if someone's here and they're only curing cancer, but then they're cheating on their wife, that doesn't count as working on their tikkun. But what if cheating
That's not completing their tikkun.
Okay.
So often we find it easy to maybe pursue our passions, but we're not doing what's really hard for us, which is transforming reactive behavior and going to the root of reactive behavior, which is our tikkun, our negativity.
Is the affair their unique opportunity to work on themselves?
Absolutely. So often what happens is, because of our tikkun, you can keep the mic if you want to ask a follow-up. Because of our tikkun, we might attract people who will try to seduce us into situations that aren't good. So that random person that you attracted that took you away from a stable relationship, that was already pre-programmed that person was going to come to your life to test you. And of course, you're vulnerable, you feel lack, you enjoying this energy of this person who's giving you energy that maybe your spouse is not. But the fact that your spouse is not giving you energy, it's for you to look inside yourself and ask yourself, why is she or he not giving me energy? What is it about me? Wow, I want to change. I want to be like the light. Not to go look for someone else to take energy from because now your spouse isn't giving you energy. You understand? That mentality is always about how can I take? Oh, my spouse is not giving me energy anymore. I can't take from this. Oh, I'll take from this. So I'm a taker. Taker. Well, I'm finding a cure for cancer, so at least I can justify all this taking. But if I'm a taker, I'm not the light. So I'm actually very disconnected from the light of the Creator, and I'll have to come back next life again and again to fix it. And in fact, if I'm being tested now, it probably means I failed the test past life, at that exact moment, at that exact age, in that exact situation.
If we fail, is there going back?
If we fail, the tests keep coming back. We're going to learn about this later, but every year, the same tests come back in a cycle of a year. The same tests come back in different forms, different shapes, different people. If we keep failing those tests, if we keep failing those tests and it's determined, the universal system determines that you're not interested in changing yourself, then the process begins of exiting this physical world. Because it only makes sense, right? The soul leaves this world. And we're going to learn this in much later classes. The soul leaves this world, comes in a new body, new surrounding, new situation to work on its correction. It only makes sense. If the soul is only interested in correcting, and it sees that in this body you're not interested in correcting, the first step is it attracts chaos. If the chaos doesn't change you, then eventually it's to leave, which is a positive thing for the soul anyways. The body doesn't like it, but the soul is happy to shift. Too soon? Too soon? Sorry, guys. Sorry. We'll get to it. Don't worry. Yes, please. What's your name?
Hi, Nikki.
Nikki.
I was wondering if we keep passing these tests and our soul keeps growing, do we ever get to a point where we don't have the tests anymore, like some world where it's just all,
yes,
all peace? Because a part of me already, I'm like, I'm getting tired of these,
right,
these tests, you know?
It's getting exhausting,
exactly,
right? It's a part of why it's exhausting is because we don't really know the system and the big picture and we don't have all the tools. It's going to become very fun soon. Once you get all these tools and this wisdom, you're going to love it. And as you grow, you're going to have so much more energy and power and strength that it's going to revitalize you consistently. But there is a moment where those tests stop. And in fact, the beginning is the hardest because there's a lot of negativity that we've accumulated that in Kabbalah 1, we're going to deal with all the low-hanging fruit. So you guys are going to see a lot of positive things happen in the very beginning. And then later, maybe Kabbalah 2, later as time goes on, we start dealing with more detailed negativity that's a little harder. It's kind of like crusted itself. But there's a lot of low-hanging fruit that's very exciting that we can change now. But there is an end game, which we'll talk about. Yeah, no, it's very exciting, in fact. Very exciting. Let me go with this side. Anybody here? Can you take the mic? What's your name?
Hi, I'm Natalia.
Natalia?
Yes.
Nice to meet
you. And my question, I think you kind of answered it before, but it's about the layers. So let's say my biggest tikkun is fear of commitment. But then when I express it, it could be because it's fear of abandonment or something else that manifests as fear of commitment. So how do you discover those layers?
How do you discover them?
Yeah, and like start working on them because it's painful.
Great, great question, Natalia. First step is to want to know. If you want to know, my promise to you is you will figure it out very soon. When you don't want to know something, the Creator obliges and doesn't tell you. Most people don't want to know what's wrong with them, right? How do we know? If somebody came up to you and said, can I share with you something you did wrong? Are you excited to hear it? I would say, oh, of course. All day long I've been getting all these compliments and finally someone is going to tell me what's wrong with me. Because we don't like it, subconsciously, we're always telling the Creator, make sure no one tells me what's wrong with me. Now, if you want to know, it will come. And it will come in beautiful ways. You might hear it in the class. You might be watching a TV show and seeing somebody that's similar to you and you start to see it. It might even come in a dream. You're going to very quickly find out those corrections. How you transform a tikkun is to take advantage of every challenge that comes in that area. So if you have a fear of abandonment, let's say, for example, you send a text to someone that you like and you're enjoying their energy and their company, and they don't write back. And there's that moment you're like, what's going on? Or you see the dot, 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 and then nothing. That's it. Or they write back, K. Hey, what do you think about getting together sometime? K. K. And? So you start to feel it. Then you say, oh, what a pleasure. I love it. In fact, I hope he never even writes back. Because then I'll completely starve that tikkun and then it starts to die away. So every time the tikkun comes up and you pause, what a pleasure it, you diminish its power until it's gone completely. But if you keep feeding it, and you're chasing it, and you call your friend and go, you know, I was texting John, he's not writing back. I can't believe this guy. Energy. And you're feeding the tikkun, so it stays with you. Does that make sense? Let's say somebody writes an email, CCs six people that are important to you, and it's an email that's putting you down and accusing you of something maybe you didn't even do. And your fingers go fast in motion. It wasn't me. And you want to assault. You want to attack. Pause. Accept the pain. It's painful. I feel humiliated. I'm being accused of something I didn't do. It's ruining my reputation. It's ruining my career, in fact. The illusion is my career is going down the toilet because of this email. When in reality, the Creator is trying to elevate you. We don't see it. Pause, what a pleasure. Go make a sandwich. Enjoy it. In fact, look at that email and go, I love it. Beautiful. Beautiful. The pain cleanses, and then your soul elevates to a new destiny, and maybe you'll get a new career. Who knows what happens? I don't even want to talk about what happens. It's just better. Something good happens. That's the bottom line. Great question, Natalia. Yes. Let's get you the mic.
So what about people with mental disabilities? So what's how are they going to correct their tikkun while they haven't been given things that is needed for them?
It's almost like they don't have free will, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, does the person have free will or not? So again, this is way too soon for me to go down this path. So I'm going to touch it and then go back. We're going to learn this later. But if a person comes to this world and they don't have the free will to choose, then they are only in this world for the tikkun of other people. Okay? Does that make sense? As a volunteer. So for example, if God forbid, a person has a child that's, you know, challenged in some way, and the child almost has no capability of having their own process of tikkun, that child volunteered. It's a very powerful soul, a very high soul, that volunteered to come to help the correction of the parents and all the surrounding people, which is very painful often. But that's what happens. And then we're going to learn how people don't even start their tikkun process till 12 for a girl or 13 for a boy. That's actually the beginning of when you begin your journey of transforming your tikkun. Until then, it's kind of practice, and the game starts then. And we'll get into that later as well. Great question. All right, let's go over here. Yehuda, right over here. What's your name?
Storm. Storm, as in the weather.
Storm, I like it.
Unfortunately, I had hippie parents.
Why is it unfortunate? Well, you chose parents who were named...
I went gray as well, and you know, it's like a thing.
You wanted to be named Storm. That's why you came to this world.
Okay, well, that's my question. And yeah. I'm delving into something you wanted to put on the back burner, but I'm going to ask it. So I found out 6 years ago I'm bipolar too. I grew up with parents with drug addiction, alcoholism. I dated every single guy just like my dad. And does that mean I'm really just here to serve them? Because my mom has grown and we've become so close and I'm so grateful for being mental. My dad is useless. I really hope he doesn't find the link online. And I refuse to accept that I'm just here for them. Like, I've been off medication. I was on medication for 5 years. Been off for 1 and a bit years.
Beautiful.
I have not had an episode in 3 years. And my 20s were... I was suicidal for most of my 20s. So I am loving everything I'm experiencing, but I refuse to accept that I'm just here to serve my dad's bullshit from his past lives. There's no way that can be right, right? That's my question. And I know we're not meant to touch on that, but like, I had to ask that.
I'm so happy, by the way. I love when people speak up like that. If you have the strength to challenge anything I have to say, if you're really from the right place, because that's where we're going to get deeper. First, I'm really happy you took the moment to challenge and to bring that up. When I said mental illness, I mean to the point where you're not even cognizant of what's going on. I'm talking about a level where a person's almost like in a vegetative state, like they have no capability of even conceptualizing life. Being bipolar means very much you're in the game. You're very much in the game. And not only that, it feels, this is my feeling, that you have a very powerful soul, that you have big desire. You have something, some kind of amazing light you're meant to reveal. And because that light is so big, there's an equal amount of darkness you've been thrown, that's been thrown at you first. So yes, part of why you're here is for your dad's tikkun. And it looks like he doesn't want to deal with his tikkun. So we'll be seeing him next life. Okay? No worries. Maybe you won't be. Maybe if you elevate, you won't have to be an actor in his movie anymore. But you now have the free will to decide, what do you want to do with all this darkness that was given to you? If you plug into the light, being bipolar becomes the platform to revealing the light of the Creator. In fact, you'll get to a place you're happier that you're bipolar than if you weren't. That's how you know you've truly transformed your correction. Where any, quote, disability that you think you have, or trauma, or this happened to me when I was young, or was abused, or whatever, when you get to that point where you realize, wow, if that didn't happen to me, I wouldn't have reached this elevated state of bliss and connection and power and giving, that's how you know you've transformed, completely transformed. So you're on your way there, and the reason why you're here in this class is because your soul is aching for a way to transform that darkness. So that's how you found yourself here.
No, thank you. I mean, I agree. The dark stuff and that period was, at the time, the worst day of my life. And I every day I'm thankful that that day happened because I have my mom, who's my best friend. And
there's no doubt in my mind that you have put all victim consciousness aside and you're ready to do your correction. No doubt. Thank you for coming, buddy. Yeah, it's good. By the way, when you cry, when we feel those things, that is the breaking of a layer of negativity. Sometimes people just cry for no reason. And if you do have tears, physical tears. When you're doing something proactive or positive, it's you remove the layer. You remove the layer. Yes, please. What's your name?
Jen.
Jen?
Yeah, please. But she just kind of, you guys kind of covered what I was about to ask.
Yeah?
No, but basically I just wanted to know what do you think about dealing with on an emotional level? Because yes, there's a spiritual level, which is the truth, but then there's also a subconscious emotional level that there's concepts that I've read about how like when you feel something, you feel a fear of abandonment, you feel all this things that we're talking about, basically feel them and go to the darkness, basically. And that's where you create what you want. Because like once you go through it and you realize that you're still alive and everything's fine, it's just an emotion that's passing by, then you come back with so much strength.
Absolutely. The problem is people go into that darkness. A, they either don't want to feel it, which is a major problem. We need to feel the pain. Pause what a pleasure means, I'm feeling the pain. Don't not feel the pain. Pain is very special. Pain actually is packaging the light. Some people either don't feel the pain, that's reactive, or they go into the pain and they get lost in it. They become depressed. They beat themselves up. They might hear this class and say, oh, I'm so bad. I have so much tikkun. I'm so bad. Again, that's a form of reactive behavior. You have to ask yourself, what does the Creator want me to do? The Creator loves me. What would the Creator do? Not go this extreme nor that extreme. Feel it, move on. These are all sensitivities and abilities we will all develop. It's a spiritual muscle we will all develop very powerfully. Something I think nobody really taught us growing up. No one really taught us how to feel the balance of emotions in the right way and then ultimately connect my soul to the higher source. Thank you. Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to try to explain myself.
What's your name?
Nila.
Nila?
With N, yeah.
With an N. Can you stand just so everyone can connect with you?
I'm sorry. Like not.
It's okay. It's okay. Because whatever you're going to share is probably going to be powerful for everyone.
How do you deal once with somebody don't do it the correct or good things for you, or the situation is always the same and with some persons.
You're talking about someone in your life who's being abusive, you're saying?
No, he's proud of his behavior.
He's proud of his negative behavior.
Yeah. And how do you can say thank you for that? I mean, you say make a pause and be grateful for that. So how do you can say to this person thank you for that if you don't feel it?
Well, first, good question. We're not saying to your father, thank you. In fact, don't say thank you to your father. We're saying thank you to the light of the Creator that is giving me now an opportunity to elevate and find more about myself, even if I don't know yet what that is. When you accept something, that's when the answers come, by the way. Until you accept a painful situation, you are not allowed to know why it's happening to you. I'll say that again. Until you accept a painful situation, you will not unlock the reason of why it's in your life. So the what a pleasure, the pause, is to say, I accept having a father like this, even though it's no good and I don't even want a father like this. Then the next step is to ask why it's in my movie and go from there. In your case, we need more time to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, because, I mean, when it's a relationship, you can decide if you permit that kind of behavior. But when it's your family,
it's harder. You can't cut family off. You can, I mean, we're going to talk about it. It's much deeper. But definitely family tikkun is more challenging. And we need to learn more tools of how to deal with family tikkun. All right, guys. Okay, I'm going to take one more question because we did start a little bit late. You guys are asking amazing questions. So I apologize if we're going over the time a little bit. But I feel it's really good, the type of stuff you're asking. Yeah, let's get you the mic. What's your name?
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Hi.
Would you feel comfortable standing so people can see you?
Sure. So I'm still very confused about this whole concept of pausing. I mean, I understand it, and I actually did pause this weekend once, but...
What happened?
My sister, my nephews were leaving for camp and for 2 weeks, and I wanted to say goodbye to them. And my sister said, like Saturday morning, I hope you understand. You could put your needs aside. You know, I'm under so much stress and this and that. And I was like, oh, of course, you know. I paused and was like, you know.
What did you feel that you had to pause? You felt hurt?
I felt compassion in the moment. I felt compassion, and she's really stressed out. She has a lot of anxiety.
You have to pause? Did you feel some kind of negative? Did you feel hurt? Did you feel something?
Because I was like, well, okay, well, I still want to see my nephews.
Right. I paused.
And I was like, paused and I felt compassion for what was going on with her.
Good.
So then later, a few hours later, I found out that she basically lied to me and that one of my nephews went with, you know, their uncle to a movie in Century City, and the other one was, you know, going to this. It's just whatever. I was going to this hotel to see my mom, and they all had lunch and whatever, and I could have easily gone, and she lied second time, you know, excluding me from the situation.
Right.
Then I didn't pause again for 48 hours.
You didn't pause that time.
No. That was, and I don't even understand saying it's a pleasure, because it's definitely, I don't understand that concept.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's not a pleasure for me.
Why not?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I want to just say things, you know, it's like,
You want everyone to be honest with you, right? What astrological sign are you, just from my own knowledge?
Cancer.
You're Cancer? Okay. Yeah. No, it doesn't matter. We're not going to get into signs yet, and don't ask me about it. I just want to know for myself. Yeah. So, what's beautiful about this scenario? Your sister lied to you.
Twice.
In a day. And it's very hard for you when people betray you, right?
Yes.
Especially someone close to you that you love and that you care for.
Right.
Right?
And who was trying to then keep my mother and I separated during the day.
Okay. So instead of trying to read into it and taking it personally, we have to realize that your soul wanted your sister to do that for a certain reason. To unearth a certain blind spot you may have with your own tikkun. I'm sure you don't want to live your life on eggshells, hoping that people always trust you and are honest with you, and feeling only happy when people are straightforward with you. You would want to get to that place where you feel good no matter what. That even if anybody hurts you, you still feel secure. You still feel powerful. You still see the future. You still have compassion,
and
right?
I still want to see my nephews.
And you still want to see your nephews,
for
right?
Weeks. Yeah.
So in order for you to reach that reality where you can have it all, you have to let go of this negativity first. You can't be conditional. You can't say, I'm only loving and happy and compassionate when everyone's honest with me, when everyone's telling me exactly what I need to hear in a straightforward way. We have to get to that place where even the negative side of us is removed. So this test is coming up and probably will continue to come up until you feel okay with betrayal. Now, I know that's a hard pill to swallow. Who's okay with betrayal?
But I'm definitely not.
You're not?
No.
But do you wish you didn't have this weakness? Do you wish that you had so much strength that nothing bothers you?
Yes.
Okay.
So I watch my Buddhist friends and nothing bothers them.
Nothing bothers them, right? Yeah. So you're telling the creator, can you help me get to a place where nothing bothers me? The creator says, okay, in order for me to do that, I have to bother you. So that you make your own choice to change it. So that's what's happening. So again, the only step is by pausing what a pleasure and injecting light in that situation. You can just visualize light filling that pain. You start to gain the strength. So it may need to happen a couple more times. And even if you're faking it, that's fine. You're just injecting light. I love it. I hate it. I love it. I really hate this. I love it. I love it. I love it. Have compassion. Visualize light. I'm unconditional. I want to be like God. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Watch how this amazing strength comes. And that's how you change. That's how we all change. And it's going to happen within weeks. You'll see. So welcome if it happens again. Now, confrontation, we haven't learned it yet. Will there be a day you need to confront your sister? Yes, but we're not there yet. So be careful. Don't do confrontation quite yet. We need to first confront our own negativity, transform it to light, and then we're going to bring that light, and it's going to be very powerful when we confront in a loving, compassionate way. But we're not there yet, okay? A future class. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.